This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, April 24th. I'm Patricia Naft. A bill to grow the state's agritourism industry cleared the state Senate on Tuesday. As Benta Berkland reports, tourism officials say the business is already booming.
Right now, state law says farms and ranches that have agricultural recreation, such as horseback riding, aren't liable if a visitor gets injured. Democratic Senator Gail Schwartz of Snowmass Village sponsored a bill to add agritourism to that list. She says many farmers worry they are liable because the activities they promote aren't recreational per se.
Tourism now focuses on an emphasis for locally grown foods and locally made wines and beers, and what we can do is encourage folks to come on and do picking and canning and harvesting and corn mazes and activities that really have a way of reconnecting folks with agriculture.
Schwartz says Colorado is promoting agritourism to help develop rural economies. She believes clarifying this liability issue will pave the way for even more growth. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
According to the Associated Press, a new poll suggests that Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper, backed by support from women and unaffiliated voters, has a comfortable lead over his potential Republican challengers. A poll released yesterday from Quinnipiac University said that 52% of Colorado voters approve of the job John Hickenlooper is doing. Voters also gave him a narrow vote of confidence for another term, with 47% saying he deserves re-election and 43% against it. Quinnipiac surveyed over 1,200 registered voters by landlines and cell phones between April 15th and 21st. The poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 2.7 percentage points. The poll indicates Hickenlooper's closest Republican rival is former U.S. Republican Tom Tancredo, with the Democratic governor leading 47 to 40%. The poll shows women backing Hickenlooper 53% to 34%. Four Republicans are vying to challenge Hickenlooper as he seeks a second term in November's election. Tancredo, former U.S. Republican Bob Beauprez, Secretary of State Scott Gessler, and former state Senator Mike Kopp will compete in a June 24th primary. Despite Hickenlooper's lead, the survey suggests that voters oppose the stricter gun law control measures that the Democratic-led legislature passed and Hickenlooper signed into law last year. Voters oppose the laws 56 to 39%, but 85% said they support one change addressed by the Democrats' gun control package, background checks for all gun buyers. The poll also suggests that 50% of voters favor allowing teachers and school officials to carry guns on school grounds, driven by a strong support from men. 59% of men support the idea, while only 42% of women do. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that Wild Earth Guardian sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, or FWS, last week for its refusal to list the Gunnison's prairie dog as threatened or endangered under the Endangered Species Act. The organization filed the suit in federal district court in Phoenix, Arizona, on April 17th, saying the FWS failed to use the best available science to properly consider the Act's five listing factors or to consider the historic range of the species. Ongoing urban oil and gas development, shooting, poisoning, outbreaks of Sylviac plague, drought, climate change pose significant threats to the Gunnison prairie dogs and its habitat, according to the Wild Earth Guardians. In November, the FWS declined to list the rodent, saying protection was not warranted at this time. Wild Earth, joined by several other organizations, has been fighting for a listing since 2004. Prairie dogs are considered a keystone species in the ecosystem, helping to aerate the soil and trim native grasses. They're prey for coyotes, badgers, ferrets, and hawks. The species has seen a 95% decline since the early 1900s, according to Wild Earth Guardians. The Delta County Independent reports that the Delta County Commissioners Monday approved a bid of about $219,000 to repair the roof of the county jail housed in the courthouse. The figure is $18,000 higher than it was budgeted and about $100,000 more than first-round bids in 2013. The roof has been leaking since last year when Sheriff Fred McKee told commissioners that buckets were being used to catch leaks. He said none of the leaks were over prisoners' beds. The Denver contractor hired by the county anticipates having the project completed by fall. The Daily Sentinel reports that a bill to expand industrial hemp production cleared the state Senate Wednesday and now heads to the House. Senators voted 35-0 Wednesday to expand the number and size of farms growing hemp, marijuana's non-intoxicating cousin. The measure would allow year-round hemp cultivation in greenhouses and strike the current 10-acre limit on hemp for research and development. Colorado opened applications for hemp cultivation in March, with applications accepted until May. The state Senate significantly watered down a vaccine education proposal on Wednesday. As Benta Berkland reports, many parents came to the state capitol to testify the original bill was a government overreach.
House Bill 1288 requires schools and daycare centers to collect data on the number of children immunized and the rate of exemptions. But the bill originally required parents to take an online education class or get a letter from a doctor or public health official before opting their children out of vaccines.
And this doesn't take any parental rights away.
That's Democratic Senator Gail Schwartz of Snowmass Village. She says vaccines save lives.
When I was 6 weeks old, my father contracted polio and was a quadriplegic his entire life. And that is a completely preventable disease today. We cannot put people or society at risk when we know that medicine can prevent tragedies like a polio epidemic.
But opponents of the education piece say it's a brainwashing tactic to try and force parents to consent to vaccines. Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud says the glossy brochures talking about the benefits of vaccinations only give half the story. He says vaccines have serious medical risks, and his own son had a bad reaction to the whooping cough vaccine.
And I know too many other people who have seen permanent damage done. What concerns me is the information that I see from health officials is not complete. It's not the full picture.
Colorado has one of the highest vaccine exemption rates in the country, but members of the Senate ultimately stripped the education requirements from the bill. Parents currently must sign a personal belief form to opt out. The Democratic House sponsor of the bill, Dan Pabone of Denver, says the intent is to protect public health, especially those who can't get immunized.
We have children who are suffering from bad diseases, namely cancer, leukemia, and then exposing those children to an environment where they may come down with life-threatening diseases that have already been cured, like measles and mumps, things that we've spent the good part of the 20th century solving.
Pabone says he may have to accept that the transparency piece is all that can pass this year, but he says it's not the end of the discussion, and he plans to bring back legislation again if that's what it takes. Pabone says he's also considering a conference committee to iron out the differences between the versions each chamber passed. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for the Sweet Sound with Krista. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.